Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Happy 4th of July weekend. Or should I say, happy bombs bursting in air weekend. Right? That's what it seems to have become these days. What was once a celebration of our independence as a nation has become an excuse to blow things up. 1:20 on Friday night, Saturday morning, our house shook from an explosion. Well, with the signing of the Declaration of Independence 249 years ago, we became a nation independent of England. You see, the 4th of July is our birthday as a nation. And yet we seem to focus more on our individual freedoms and independence than we do our collective interdependence together. Think of one pencil or think of a whole bunch of pencils. I just came up with that. So we should be celebrating a more perfect union as the preamble of the Constitution states than holding on to our individualism. Jesus has something to say about our interdependence and our human need for relationship and reliance upon each other in our gospel reading this morning. Now, our reading today immediately follows where we left off last Sunday when Jesus had set his face to Jerusalem, and that began our journey with Jesus and the disciples. Last week, you might remember, Jesus sent a couple of messengers ahead into a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. And when that village didn't welcome them, James and John wanted to rain fire down on that village. Remember that? And when they suggested that, Jesus rebuked them and they just went on to another village. And then on the way to the other village, people told Jesus that they wanted to follow him, but that they weren't ready to follow him immediately, to which Jesus responded, that the cost of following him, the cost of being his disciples, is high, and encouraged them and us to keep our faces set upon him. It's after this, immediately after that, that the Lord appointed 72. Okay, our reading says 70. My study Bible says 72. There's a difference. There's different texts have it as 70 or 72. I'm going to say 72 because what's in my sermon and my brain can't change it that quick while I'm preaching. But don't be alarmed. It's just a translation issue. In some old manuscripts, it said 72. Some it said 70. You guys okay with that? I'm going to do my best to be okay with that. That when I read it this morning, I'm like, oh no. All right, so the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them ahead of him in pairs. That's the important part. So after this pair of messengers had not been received in the village, the Samaritan village, Jesus gathers together 72 other messengers and divides them out in pairs and sends them into every town and place where he intended to go. He sent 36 pairs of messengers, knowing some of them, like the people who come knocking on our doors, may not be well received. Jesus sent them out like lambs into the midst of wolves. According to Isaiah 11, the wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And Isaiah says, a child will lead them. But this reference to lambs in the midst of wolves doesn't seem to be words of reassurance for Jesus, quoting Isaiah. It seems to be preparing them to not receive hospitality, to not be well received where they go. But instead of telling them to arm themselves and to prepare themselves for not being well received by others, Jesus' instruction to the 72 is much like his instructions were to the apostles when he sent them back out in chapter 9. Take nothing for your journey, he told the apostles. No staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. In our reading today, he says, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. In both instances, Jesus instructed those who he was sending to rely upon the generosity of others and to anticipate the hospitality of strangers. Now, that probably sounds counterintuitive to those of us who would never show up at somebody's house without a gift to offer or something to give the people who open the door. I know you're out there. Some of you would never show up empty-handed. But that is exactly what Jesus is asking and instructing the apostles and the 72 to do. Show up with the expectation that whoever answers the door will welcome and be hospitable to you. Can you imagine going on a trip with nothing planned, with not having packed anything? My brother and I are preparing to walk the Camino when I'm on sabbatical. And we've already purchased our airline tickets. We've already made reservations for the hotels that we're going to stay in. We've already arranged for our ground transportation to get us from here to there and whatnot. Now, we haven't started packing, but we have certainly talked about the things that we will pack, how many pairs of shoes we'll bring, what kind of backpacks we'll buy, are we going to use walking sticks, are we going to get like a camelback thing, are we just going to use water bottles? I mean, we've already begun the process of talking about it. And yet here Jesus says, go out with nothing. And he sent them out in need of other people's hospitality. Now, this is a very different process than we like to think of. When we send people out on mission trips, we typically send teams of people into communities where we perceive there to be a need, a school to be built, a medical services to provide. And we arrive with our capes flapping behind us in an effort to rescue them from whatever condition we perceive they are suffering from, even if they don't think they're suffering because it's all they've ever known. And in so doing, we assume that we know what is best for them and that we have solutions to their problems, again, even if they don't even know that they have them. The implication, again, being that we have the resources, the skill, the know-how, the technology, the systems to create a better life than they've been able to create and establish for themselves. And in such situations, a power differential is established and reinforced when we enter into these relationships, assuming that we have something to offer them and that they have little or nothing other than gratitude to offer us. We have a saying that describes this, and I think we've probably all said it, or at least appreciated the sentiment, right? It's far greater to give than to receive. And we hold that up. We couch this in the language of generosity because we know that it's far more comfortable to be the one in the position giving than to be the one in the position of needing. Having a need is considered weak in our culture. We celebrate those who do for themselves, and if somebody can't, we wonder why they didn't. Oh, those who pulled themselves up by the bootstraps deserve our accolades. Yet Jesus sends out the 72 in a totally different scenario. In a scenario that requires them to be humbled by presenting themselves as people in need. Tells them to go into a household, into a town, and to offer the one thing he's let them bring. Peace. The one thing they enter those towns and those homes in with is peace. Peace to this house, he says, say. And if they receive you, if they share peace with you, remain with them. Eat together. Drink together. Get to know each other. And let them know that the kingdom of God has come near in your time together. Now, if they don't receive you, if they don't reciprocate the peace you offer, he says, shake off the dust off your feet and leave. He doesn't say command fire to come down like the 4th of July. But let them know also, even if they don't receive you, let them know also that the kingdom of God has come near. For that is what they were sent to share. That is why they were sent to proclaim the arrival of God's kingdom in the person and the ministry of Jesus. Even if they don't receive you, let them know the kingdom of God has come near. You see, the messengers never lost sight of why they were humbly sent to these town and to these people until they returned. And when they got back, they were filled with joy, which makes sense, right? And I'm sure they began to share stories. Stories about how even the demons submitted to them while they were away. You're never going to guess how many demons I got to come out of this guy. Oh yeah, well, I mean, that was a lot of demons, but the demon I got to come out of this woman was a lot bigger and probably a lot more powerful than the demons you cast out of that person. And then Jesus redirects them. He doesn't rebuke them like he did James and John, but he reminds them that the point of their mission journeys was not to demonstrate power over snakes and scorpions and demons. Of course, they went out and they healed in Jesus' name as he gave them authority, but the point in doing so was not to appear powerful themselves. The point was to bring the kingdom of God near to the people in these towns. To share God's love and to reveal the divine identity of Jesus. And when the 72 focused more upon the cool things that they were able to do for others, like healing and casting out demons, Jesus told them, do not rejoice in this, that spirits submit to you. Don't. But instead, rejoice that the kingdom of God has come near and that you have entered it and invited others to do the same. For that is worth rejoicing over. It's tempting for us to want to pat ourselves on the back when we think about all the good that we have done, right? We've offered somebody encouragement. We've given somebody a ride. We've sent a card. We've referred somebody to the best doctor or something else. But we should rejoice not in that. We should rejoice that we are citizens of the kingdom of God and that our names are written in heaven. Rejoice over that, Jesus tells the 72 and us. And as citizens of heaven, we are interdependent with all of God's creation. And when we acknowledge, celebrate, and give thanks for our interdependence, our reliance upon one another, then, my friends, the kingdom of God has definitely come near. Amen. Next Sunday, we will read the first parable of Luke's travel narrative. It should be familiar to most of you, or all of you. Maybe one of you wants to preach on the Good Samaritan. But now I invite